He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Blair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, Blair, I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Welcome back into the program. That familiar laugh is Blair Kirkhoff. Laugh, Blair, right? You should be laughing. You've had a bomb pop, right?
I have had a sour
bomb, a very pop. Sour bomb pop. Jed brought some treats in for us because it's summertime. It's absolutely summertime. And then I had a very sweet break right there. I had a bomb pop and a piece of cookie cake because
today's not been the best day for people watching their weight.
No, it's
which I'm not. So I don't
too.
Care.
Chad Boger, El Presidente's birthday today.
Ah, well, happy birthday.
So there's a
Chad.
Cookie cake in there. I didn't have to say happy birthday. He was on the phone, but I've said it on the air three times.
That doesn't count.
That counts. I got nothing else to say to his face, and I didn't take a whole big piece of cookie cake. Little piece of cookie cake. Little piece. And we had so many Takis. It's bad snack day. But it's summertime, Blair, and there's not much else going on besides snacks. Although, we do have some college athletics things happening right now. What do you think about this news we've gotten today? It's not official yet, but the college football playoff is recommending they're going to expand this in a couple of years to 12 teams. The reports we've seen are six champions, so the Power Five.
Conference champions.
And then whoever I assume will be the highest ranked according to a committee of some sort of the
group of five,
which is a guaranteed spot in the playoff, which I think the group of five would be super excited about having one in there. And six at-larges. Perhaps a chance to get another in. What are your thoughts when we see this thing at the beginning?
Well, this was pretty big news for college football. All of our lives, we have wondered about, you know, when it was just polls determining national champions, we wondered when there was going to be a playoff, and finally we got the two-team playoff, and throughout that two-team playoff history, we never satisfied, wanted more teams, and we finally got it with four. And it just seems like in college football, there's never a consensus of opinion of whether it should expand. But I think through this four-team playoff, I've heard a lot of opinion that it needs to be, now that college football has gone this far, it needs to go farther. And this is going to happen. This 12-team playoff thing is going to happen. The fact that it was recommended by a committee that includes Bob Bowlesby and Craig Thompson, the commissioner of the Mountain West, and Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director of Notre Dame. This didn't come from this is not a media suggestion.
Right.
This is coming from the
this
people.
This is their executive committee.
Yeah,
who can
make it happen. So they're gonna forward it to the 10 conference commissioners who are gonna and they're gonna rubber stamp it and
next
send
month.
It to the president.
Yeah. This is
yes. So it's not gonna. I actually had communication with Bill Hancock today about it. Nothing's gonna change for this year or the following year. But 2023, is going to be the first year of a 12-team playoff. And if you'd had it this past season, if it had been in place this past year, Oregon would not, the Pac-12 champion, would not have been in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
They were number 25, I think, in the college football, the final college football playoff poll. Oklahoma, which was sixth in the ranking, would have been fourth in this as a conference champion.
Right.
Notre Dame, which doesn't belong to a conference, can never be a top four team, I suppose.
They have to be an at-large or
because
whatever.
Because it's going to include the top six conference champions, no matter what the conference is.
Mm-hmm.
So Coastal Carolina, which was undefeated, you know, would have.
They were the highest ranked Gang of Five.
Yes.
They could have been in.
Yeah. So to go from 4 to 12, that's monumental. Some people think 12 is too many. I think 12 is okay. The first round games would be those top four teams, top four conference champions would get a bye. So now you've got 5 through 12 with 5, 6, 7, and 8 playing home games against 9, 10, 11, and 12. And then those winners would play the top four that would start the quarterfinal round. Those would be on January 1st or 2nd. And then you'd have two more weeks of college football. So,
but Blair, what about the finals for these
what
kids?
What about the exams? The exams.
We've
right?
said for years this is what Division II, FCS, they've been starting the
everything
playoffs.
Everything else.
They've all done this.
Yes.
I've always liked the idea. When I used to tinker around with 16, which I think is probably too many, maybe that's the max, 16. And if you did that, that would get all five of the group of five champs in.
And nobody would get a bye. You just play.
You just go do it. I like the idea of a bye, I guess. I could have seen them going to six and given two byes.
Yeah, I could have too. Grow, because that's the history has been to grow small, right?
Mm-hmm.
From nothing to
it's
two
It's a
to
pretty
four.
Big jump.
Yeah, to go from 4 to 12 is big.
And I think, you know, when anytime someone comes up with a reason why not, it's something that doesn't really matter, okay? Like, well, I don't know what you're going to do. You got to travel. You got to do this. Put them on a campus site. You'll sell the ticket.
It will. It will sell. Especially you're talking about the four teams that would have gotten the byes last year, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
All the teams, what they want is a chance, right? And mm-hmm. listen, if your chance is you have to go win a game in Norman or Columbus or something like that to go on, whatever, man. They'd all love that.
They'd sign up for it. Absolutely.
That's way better than going. I know there are people who love the bowls, and there will still be bowls happening. They're not getting
there
rid
will
of bowls.
Be. There'll be fewer bowls.
Yeah.
But there'll
bowls
We had
will fewer
happen.
Bowls this year.
That's right.
We did. So, you know, maybe the bowls won't have their luster, but I don't think the bowls have their luster anyways. I mean, some of them kind of do, I guess. But we don't hold on to things just because that's what they were. You have to kind of get better sometimes. And I've always said more games that matter with good teams are better. They've already ruined New Year's Day as a
sure,
day where they
sure.
were at one point, they got up to 8 bowls. I mean, it was a party. It was 4 in the morning. And then 2, and then 2, and
yeah.
now it's like you have 3 in the morning, and then a game, and then a game, and then some years, oh, it's the wrong date, and we can't have the Rose Bowl parade and all this stuff. It comes down to nothing. I mean, New Year's Day is nothing now. It's absolutely nothing.
It's nothing that we remember it. And
so you might as well have some real legit games. I could see when they put this thing together, if you've got these games, doubleheader, quadruple header, however they want to do it. It's going to be epic.
And New Year's Day would be the quarterfinal round. So how cool would that be?
Yes. You
know, and only the quarterfinal round. Not.
Now, are they going to get Rose Bowl in this thing and have to have them on a different day sometimes?
It's time
to say bye-bye.
The release said it would always be on the quarterfinals would be on January 1st unless January 1st is on a Sunday.
That's the
NFL's day.
Stay out of their business.
So you move it to the 2nd.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think that they're going to take back New Year's Day, which would be great news.
Are these semifinals going to be up for grabs somewhere, or are they going to try to incorporate the bowls?
Those will be like it is right now.
Right.
So
rotating
yes.
through those.
So the Peach,
six.
The Fiesta, the Cotton.
That's called the Chick-fil-A now.
And the Chick-fil-A, thank you very much.
My friend works for them. They don't say Peach anymore.
That's how old school I am. First bowl game I ever attended as a fan was a Peach Bowl. But
at Fulton County Stadium?
At old Fulton County Stadium.
Who played?
Lou Holtz's NC State team.
Oh, my goodness.
Against West Virginia. So long ago and far away.
What league was West Virginia in then? The Metro?
They were
independent.
West Virginia was independent.
Independent back in the day.
That's right.
Mm.
They weren't
times.
Even a state back then.
No, that was a state. They've been a state for a while.
They were
a state. So I think this is fun. What does this mean? You kind of went over it a little bit. I think this is great news for everyone who's not the SEC, because the SEC's always had a team in. Every other league has been skipped.
Right. That's a great, you know, who are the winners and who might be the losers and something like this? Well, the winners are the group of five, not
for
the
sure.
power five, the group of five, because a 13-0 Coastal Carolina team is in.
Yeah.
They're going to be in. Cincinnati.
They've never had a team in the playoff yet.
No.
This is a guaranteed.
That's right.
Having someone
exactly.
in the playoff.
Exactly. They're going to be in. And Cincinnati, which would have been like the 7 or 8 seed this past year, they're going to be in. And so for them, this is fantastic. I don't think the SEC gets hurt by this. They're not going to limit the number of teams from a conference. It could be an at-large selection.
They could have 6 teams in, Blair.
And they absolutely could. And if we're looking at last year, Alabama, Florida, did they play for the SEC title? Texas A&M, we thought, was the second best team, right? But couldn't play because they were in the same division as Alabama. They'd have been in. So the SEC would have had 3. The Big 12 would have had 2, Oklahoma and Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State ended up 10th in the final ranking. So the Pac-12 would have been the one that in trouble because the highest-ranked Pac-12 team last year was Oregon, and they weren't high enough. They would not have been high enough.
But they'll be in now.
Well, no, they're you're if you're the if
oh,
you're
the top four in.
That's right. It's the top four conference champions, and then after that, it's you know a total of six conference champions.
Right.
But it doesn't designate it. It has to be the Power Five conference champion, the highest, the ones that were voted highest in the college football playoff poll.
So you could still kind of be out that way. You're not
you
guaranteed
be.
To be in if you're in the Pac-12.
Right.
You need to finish your deal. So we'll see if this goes through.
But it was an unusual year too. I mean, what was Oregon's record was 4-2
right.
or something.
Yeah, they didn't
right?
start yeah. playing until later.
That's right.
You'd have to expect they'd be a little bit better off than that.
Yeah.
And I can't think. I mean, there will be detractors of everything. One thing that I see that could be a problem is we have seen more and more over the last 5-6 years of players saying, I'm not playing in a bowl game.
Absolutely.
And last year we had opt-outs. Some guys got picked in the first round and said, I'm not playing. Some guys, a little bit hurt, I'm done. You think this will be a carrot to keep playing for old State U, or is that already over the deal and we're going to have some players who just aren't going to play if they think it doesn't mean anything? I think these games mean something. We haven't had anyone opt out of a college football playoff game yet, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
They've opted out of Rose Bowls and Orange Bowls and things like that.
Well, I think if your team qualifies for this 12-team playoff, all of a sudden your image and name and likeness gets more valuable, and now you can begin to cash in on that. So I think there'd be incentive for players to continue to play, but I will never forget talking to an Oklahoma player. It was a year that the Big 12 championship game wasn't in Kansas City, so it was either in Houston or Dallas, and we were down there the day before the game and got to talk to some players, and the idea of a playoff it was it happened to be the hot topic that,
right.
that particular year. And I said, wouldn't players just relish the opportunity to play an additional game and, you know, have a larger bracket? And he told me absolutely not, because what if I go out and get hurt in the semifinal and we're
there's
not
something real
to,
there. Yeah.
Yes. We're not looking to play more games. Those that are NFL prospects now in Power Five football, that's a lot of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's where the draft comes from. So I think if there's a financial incentive of having your brand increase by being in the playoff, then that would take care of incentivizing
the
players.
So many things have changed in the last 15 years on that front.
Oh,
that there's
gosh.
A cost of attendance, stipends
yep.
are there.
Yep.
Now this name, image, and likeness, which has been passed in 5 states, not one of our two here, but Missouri, it's waiting for a signature, right?
It's going to be August 28th, I think, in Missouri.
So it'll
start the school year.
Every single one of these rules is going to be different.
It is.
In every one of the states, which is why they had this hearing yesterday. We played the Mark Few comments yesterday.
He
like,
was good.
You got to help us here. Who knows if he's asking the right people to help, because they don't seem to be able to help very often. But there's a lot of ways that... And, you know, college athletics, as we remember it, it's over. It's gone because the money's changed. And if you can go out and make money on your likeness, Mark Few says, go make as much as you want, whatever. There's going to be some problems. The NCAA has no teeth, whatever. All that stuff. You just got to move forward now and figure your way through this. So I think you're right. If there's a way, if you can put something in your contract for your name, image, and likeness to say, if you make the playoff. We see all these assistant coaches and coaches. The KU
bonuses,
guys contract
right?
just came out. How about... If you have a contract with so-and-so car dealer or whatever, if we make the playoff, I get more money. I mean, that's where it's going.
Yep, absolutely. How about if name, image, and likeness had been on the books in the state of Virginia this year, Odyssey Alexander, that pitcher for James Madison, who
mm-hmm.
was just, who beat Missouri
right.
in the Super Regional.
Beat Oklahoma once,
yeah. And really was the... has been the star right. of this of the Women's College World Series, she would have money in her account from
right.
this. A good bit of money in her account from being the star of college softball this year.
Yeah, it's out there. Now, who knows where it turns out? Because there are people at ad agencies and marketing firms who can tell you what an impression on ESPN is worth compared to Fox Sports 2 or NCAA.com or whatever. But there's revenue going through some of these sports now that used to be non-revenue sports. We're sitting here watching Oklahoma play Florida State. Paddy Gasso at Oklahoma makes $1.2 million.
Wow.
Coaching softball. Okay.
She's about to win her, what, third or fourth national championship?
Fourth national championship. Fifth. This would be fifth.
She's won them all, right?
Yeah.
Then it would be the fifth.
Yeah, it'll be the fifth one. So it means something for these girls here to be playing in Oklahoma City on ESPN for all of them. I'm 51 years old. I was a, you know, get off my lawn guy for a while on this. But I think I'm to the point now where this is here, okay? How do we deal with it now? How do we figure it out? What are we going to do? And it is what it is. So you might as well kind of just go with the flow and see how this thing works out. And if you can, these kids can make some more money. I think that my opinion has been for a long time now that part of the reason that this is happening with name, image, and likeness, you can go back to 95 with UCLA and the EA games and all that stuff. That's fine. But when these kids aren't dummies, they put all these contracts out for these state-run universities for everyone to see. And when the athletic director is making bonuses because you did something, that's like three steps removed from your coach getting a bonus or whatever. I think they all feel bad that they're making all this money. It was one thing when the coach is making a couple $100,000 a year, but when they're making $4, $6, $8, $10 million a year, when softball coaches are making $1 million a year, yeah, they're like, a little guilt. Maybe we should pass some of that money down.
I don't doubt that that is true. I absolutely think. But watching this college softball World Series, and we'll see the men's college, the Super Regionals this weekend, and the College World Series begin the week after that, and Oklahoma just won it.
5-1.
Over Florida State.
Too bad for Florida State. Nice job, Sooners. We're very happy.
Yeah, but the Sooners lose the first Super Region. Didn't they lost their
First game here. Lost their first game
in the best of three.
So
right, but you see the joy obviously on the dog pile there, none of those players are thinking, boy, what does this mean for me financially? They're there. They went to Oklahoma. I'm sure they're all on scholarship, right?
Full scholarship. There's just still numbers there. It's like 13.7. There's
for softball.
Yeah, it's not full, but they're what the smaller sports do is they work really hard to work with the academic things and get scholarships.
That's right. So there it's
pretty close.
It is close, but you're right, Todd, that the they're not dummies. These kids aren't dummies. They know that people have been making money off of their entertainment for forever, right? Up until now.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. They do get they do get financial aid. You know, we've had kids that have been through college and they didn't get what these kids have gotten in terms of, you know, athletic financial aid. But it is true. As long as these games are, the interest is there and the revenue is there, I'm with you. I used to think amateurism should be upheld at all costs.
And it's over.
I've over the last few years, I've determined that absolutely not. And none of this, whatever happens to kids in the age limit,
name, image, and likeness.
Let's just say NIL to be in the world is going to change the way those girls just want. You know, just felt winning a softball. The way I look at them.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make if they're going to start cashing in on their name, image, and likeness? Are they going to be any different? Are we going to be any different as fans toward them? I don't think so.
Well, it's a weird kind of situation because we're seeing this happen in America right now. Like, you know, soccer, we see this with Sporting KC. They're starting to go through. G League is happening. There's some places, there's not a really viable professional softball league. There is some professional softball out there, but it's not like the National Football League or the NBA. So this is probably a chance for someone to do something in some of these little sports. What I think the devil in the details will be, there are 20 people in college basketball who will get the rich get richer, kind of 1%
sure.
of the deal,
yep.
right? And maybe more in football because there's more teams that are kind of a bigger deal, maybe in football.
The sport's a bigger deal at more schools than it is for basketball.
And there's 85 guys on scholarship instead of 13 or whatever. So it's a different deal. So there'll be some problems with this, but you know what there have been for the last 100 years? Problems. So Yeah, what's
probably it was perfect up until now.
Yeah,
created payments under the table. Yes. You know, SMU getting death penalty for extra benefits. There have been, Kansas is on the doorstep of big NCAA trouble because of
it. Or maybe they aren't. I don't know. It's 2021. I don't know. There's this phantom committee that has not anything yet.
It's a comfy doorstep.
Yeah.
Well, they've had a lot of things to work on at the NCAA these days.
Yeah, it's wild stuff. But it's interesting, and it's something we'll watch. I'm excited about a 12-team playoff. Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star is here. We're talking a little college athletics. We're all very excited that the Sooners have won the College World Series.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Does anybody out there have any questions?
Why are you so stupid?
Oh, that's a good question. Anybody else have any questions?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Royals have turned a triple play 6 times in their history.
I'm thinking that this...
What is their record in those 6 games?
It's probably 0-6 if you're asking this question.
It's got to be unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say 1-5.
It is 0-6.
0-6.
Or 1-6 when it's happened to them. 0-6 when they've turned one.
That's amazing.
And
just
I was looking at
week,
the
right?
box scores, yep, against them. I was looking at the box scores, and only one of the games was close. Some of them were like 7-1, 14-2.
They haven't turned one in a long time, have they?
2006, I think,
it's a
was
bit.
The last
All
one.
Right. Prior to that, didn't Gary Gaetti start
something,
in a round-the-horn triple play?
In Boston? Why is that in my head?
I remember this would have been 1990, I think. He was started two in the same game. I think the Twins were the last team.
But I think he was involved with the Royals one too.
In the same game, and
he started.
And they
both
were all 5-4-3.
Okay, I thought he had
and
one.
It was
with
at
the
Fenway.
Royals, though. I thought he had one. Started one with
Curtis.
The Royals,
look
like
up all the.
Like
I,
a 90
I just had sports. Those open, and for some reason closed them out. They didn't
well, now you better open them up. Blair Kirkhoff wants to know.
Like a 95, maybe or.
Let's see.
Something in Gary, when you said his name, I was like, yeah, I think
that
he has something
They had one in 2000, or they had one in 94, and they had one in 96.
Yeah, he's probably involved.
All around it.
I haven't, I don't think I've ever seen a triple play with my eyeballs. It's one of the weird ones. I remember I was going to a game a few years ago, and I think the Royals hit into one when I was in the parking lot. We weren't on time. We were a little late to the game. I was like, I haven't seen one. Then they did the one Sunday, right? Or was that Saturday? Sunday against the Twins.
Sunday,
it was an ugly one.
What an awful one. It was awful, awful. And Dyson, you blame everybody. First off,
get the
you
bunt
blame
down.
Nicky Lopez for not getting the bunt down. But Dyson was too far off of base. He's got the speed where he doesn't have to be halfway to third on that. He could have avoided getting. And then I think whoever the runner on first was, it was Gallagher, I think, took his cue from Dyson. And that's why he got picked off. So.
And then you had one of those plays, was it last Saturday night before, where it looked like it might be that Royals could get one of those. And nah, they got their runner at second.
Yeah.
ended up with first and third and one out. You're like, nah,
you know, when
nothing
the
is going right.
When
for
the Royals are playing like this, you know, I can't believe how many pitches they swing out of the strike, you know, balls out of the strike zone. And
we noted that in the first hour that you know, so much they had taken so much of their offensive cues from Carlos Santana when he was, you know, taking pitches and drawing walks.
Yep.
It's the whole lineup seemed like they were more composed, and now he's starting to hack at pitches outside of the strike zone, and that's if that
well, it's a
lingers,
natural thing. It's hard to be patient, and they're just not scoring.
No.
And you know, Mike Matheny last night was talking about how it kind of gets in their heads a little bit, and they're in a bad funk right now offensively, because when it's 2-0, 3-0, you're like, okay.
Yeah, how in the world are they going to get back in this?
He said this team is affected. The carryover with this team is more, he thought, than any team he'd ever managed.
That's great.
And that's
great.
Pretty revealing from a manager.
Well,
you know, right after the game. Yeah, this team really struggles with it from game to game.
The six teams he managed in St. Louis never had anything like this. They were all over 500.
And he got fired over 500.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I mean, his first four teams, he's the first manager in history to take his first four teams to the postseason.
Yeah.
So he's never dealt with anything like this. It's just maddening to watch them. I find myself watching a game and and really being an old man and like screaming at the TV.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
It is weird.
What are you swinging at?
They are basically what their talent suggests they would be, around a 500 team, but they don't even seem like to be a consistently 500 team.
Yeah, because they have an 11-game losing streak and a 5-game losing streak now. It's just not regular.
They've had 2 5-game winning streaks and at least 5-game losing streaks this year. We're not even to the midway point of June, and that's just not uncommon.
Which shows that when things are going well, it seemed to build on it, and when things are not going well, they just fall apart.
Just so far apart.
And it doesn't seem to matter the opponent. I mean, their 11-game losing streak, Detroit was right in the middle of that, right? And they should be able to take care of the Tigers on a regular
win a game.
And then they broke it by taking 2 out of 4 in Chicago.
Right.
I mean, that's baseball, I get quote unquote.
But. Angels came in with, 3 or 4 games behind the Royals in terms of just,
and then
record.
Just not even a ball game.
You know what that means? That means they're going to take 3 or 4 in Oakland.
There you go.
The A's have won 6 of 7. They're in first place. Royals struggling. They win tonight, win tomorrow, win on Sunday, 3 out of 4.
Yeah, maybe.
How's that?
I wouldn't wager on that. And if I were in Colorado still, I could wager on the Royals. And I wouldn't. I was only wagering on the Royals out there on the over-under.
Really?
And I was right on some of those because that was the 13 runs or 9 runs in the first. Twins pitching, I was on the over on that.
That was in before the sun was setting.
It was beautiful.
I didn't know they had sports wagering.
They do. Colorado's legal sports wagering. Everything's legal in Colorado, by the way.
It is.
Bets on the Broncos.
They have everything.
Not sure why they did Chicago.
Sports wagering was legal out there, and it popped up on my app. I'm like, well, I'm going to be here for a week. I'll just do this.
Where do you go?
I use the DraftKings app.
Oh, okay.
Because on DraftKings you can play daily fantasy and you can also
do
a gambling one. But then I would get things like the Score has a betting app and Fox has one. There, we're driving down the road and I see this thing. It was a billboard and it said sports gambling. I'm like, well, what? Can you do that out here? And I immediately pulled the car over. Actually, no, I waited till we got to our destination and I started looking around.
And they said, yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Blair Kirkhoff from The Star is our guest. We had our last day of voluntary OTAs today for the Chiefs. We didn't get a ton from Andy Reid. He seemed a little tired, whatever. We had some video out there. He was using a cane in practice, so I think he's not feeling well.
I've never seen that or heard of that. So that was of note.
Yeah.
He
said, I'm 60. I'm 60's caught up with me. I don't know if he's got a knee issue or a hip like that.
Yeah,
but
it could be.
But he was not, there was not a lot to talk about. I mean, it's OTAs or whatever. And there was even news. The news came out this morning that yesterday in practice, Kyle Long hurt his knee. No real details about what it is.
The first details were wrong. Somebody said it was a broken kneecap.
You're right.
And that was not accurate.
So we don't know exactly what it is because they don't really say. But Andy did say there's a chance he'll need surgery, which says to me he's going to have surgery.
Yes, yeah.
Which is, I'm glad they signed Kyle Long. He's a good, nice enough guy, but he is not someone I was like, this is 16 games of Pro Bowl level guard play because he didn't play last year. He's not a kid, and he's been hurt.
Most of the last few years, right? I mean, it's been...
He was very early in his career, but... These guys break down after a while.
Yeah,
you know. But what did you think of Andy's just demeanor today?
It was unusual. Andy's the reason it's noteworthy is Andy's the same guy every time. He really is. Sometimes he's a little more playful but sometimes he's a little more serious. But today he just seemed downcast and wanted to get it over with. I didn't know about the cane until Nate Taylor asked him about it specifically late in his in the Q&A, and so that could explain it too. It was hot day, standing out there hot, and if he's maybe he's ill in some way too, but it was just different. It was really a different tone from Andy than we usually get, and I think what you said is worth noting that. All practice opportunities are welcome and valued, but this one is a little different. Next week is significant,
right?
When it's, mini camp, and heck, a couple of teams have already
ended. The Niners yesterday, or
the Niners and the Texans before
said
that.
Bye bye.
Yeah, they're
done. You guys did great.
Yeah, see ya.
And Andy could be a pretty happy coach as far as participation, all that stuff. There was never we're not coming to OTAs thing with the Chiefs.
Correct.
They've had very good participation levels. And, you know, the other side that's happening is there's been news of his son, Britt Reed, pled not guilty this week.
Right.
That stuff, these are real-life things that are happening. He's not part of the Chiefs anymore. I'm not saying that's why he was in a bad mood, but these are just things
He's part of his family.
It's just part of his family here, and it was obviously he was an employee of the Chiefs when this accident happened where this little girl got hurt, and this is going – that was the first week of February, and now we're the first week of June, right? We're 4 months into – 5 months into this whole thing rolling through, and it's not going to be when you go plead not guilty to this thing, that means it's going to go a little bit longer. This will be something that's hanging over his head as a human being for a while, not as a head coach or anything like that, but as a human being. So all these things kind of go together, but it really didn't seem like, when do they ever want to talk to us? I don't know, but
well, in person, never, as apparently it's going to be this year for training camp and even the season. The one little, I guess the one little interesting nugget that came from this today was when Jaron Reed was speaking and was talking about who was he? Turk Wharton. Mm-hmm. Said, you know, just we saw his potential last year, but here's Jaron Reed, new to the team, had no idea who Turk Wharton was.
Oh, of course,
hadn't played with him.
No reason to see him. Yeah.
And who knew who he was before he, you know, became a member of the Chiefs, and he stood out to him, and I just thought, oh, okay, that's something to file away.
Yeah, he flashed certainly last year when he got on the field.
Absolutely, he did.
Just some crazy like physical strength moves and agility moves. You're just like, wow, where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
How did this guy not be, you know, how was he not one of the guys that jumped off the video screen to,
exactly,
to people coming out of college? The one good news on the offensive line that came out, it was at LDT, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif will take part in minicamp next week.
That's
and that
right.
was something that there, he was still kind of a mystery to this point. So that's good news. Of course, that's also a guy who, for different reasons, hasn't played for a year
yeah,
as well.
Blair,
so.
You know about this because you've got a daughter who's in Canada now. And
lives in Montreal, in fact.
Flip back and forth. So
no, you can't go. It's you can get to the U.S., but getting back to Canada still requires a quarantine. A quarantine expense that comes out of your pocket. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So would they put you in a hotel or something?
Hotel or something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
But if you've noticed in the last week or so, we found out that the NHL is allowing, I think the Canadians have come out of their division and they've relaxed the restrictions for for them traveling to the
time,
U.S.
Man.
Right,
you know, it's playoff time.
It's priorities, man. It's some priorities.
So I would guess LDT probably wanted to come to some of these things, but it probably just wasn't feasible to do
smart
back
for
and
him
forth.
To come for mini camp and stay
mm-hmm.
and that's stay here for the summer to work and
or maybe go back for a little bit because there's a plenty of time next week there's plenty of time to go do what you got to do. We don't have official dates for camp yet, but we know about when they're going to be
right.
It'll be the end of July, so there'll be plenty of time to go do that. I'm interested to see what he looks like next week because this is another guy who hasn't played football
right.
for a year. And as we were talking before, Kyle Long didn't play football, but he told us he's been working out and eating and doing all these things. LDT has not been football guy. Now, maybe he's been doing more of that now. I don't know. But he was deep in the COVID pandemic in Canada doing medical work. So there's not enough time in the day to do all that. And then, I'm going to go out here and work on my agility. He's got to be a little bit rusty when he gets here.
Yeah, I would think he would be. And we'll need every bit of field time with the Chiefs, with people his size and his strength to work against. We have seen photos of him in his, in his medical garb. But it'll be interesting to see those who go out to practice will get the chance to see him next week for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the Super Bowl, really,
right.
The 49ers Super Bowl
right.
live.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see how he's changed. I bet he's underweight and will have to put some weight on over the next.
He's like
few
he's
months.
Like 225.
Probably not that.
Move to tight end.
Blonde hair.
Probably not that, but that'll be next week. There'll be more availability, three
yeah.
days of availability,
days.
Probably not Andy for both days. They may do him twice at the beginning and the end. He'll maybe be in a happier mood. I don't know. We'll see.
And
but
maybe,
this is mandatory.
And maybe he'll and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif will be. I would think would be
yeah,
available.
I would think.
I would hope so.
Yeah, they'll make him available because we haven't had a chance to talk to him. It's that time of year while we get through that, and then there'll be a pretty good probably 5-6 weeks where we won't get much Chiefs news, except for maybe the schedule for training camp where fans they expect there to be fans up there and in person.
Right.
I'm guessing it'll be a little different. Maybe not all the, hey, go hug the
we'll
fans
be really
and take a
curious
picture.
To see about that, whether how fans, how they're, where they're going to put them and mm-hmm. what kind of interaction. The beauty of St. Joe has always been, you know, the fans connecting with the players after practice. That's really cool to see, and it's a great interactive experience. I always tell people who want to go to Chiefs games, but tell me that it's just hard to get, you know, pay for tickets and everything.
Practice, man.
Practice is a better deal. You're closer to the players. You can actually get autographs. You can talk to them. And we'll see what the parameters are going to be for this year's camp. But in terms of, you know, news coming out of the, you know, once minicamp is over, the Tyrann Mathieu contract extension to me is the
right.
big thing to keep an eye on.
And that'll be about during the dead period, which is when
yes.
everything happened last year.
So see what he tweets out next.
Oh my God, he had the another one today, right?
Cryptic tweets.
There was another one today.
Yeah, he's just, it's very confusing with him. I try not to read too much into people's tweets.
I know.
Because sometimes they're just something that's in someone's head and we put on it what we think they're saying, and it's maybe not the case. Blair Kirkhoff from The Star is here on the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
That is trash!
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, happy birthday to Chad Boger again. Our president was just in here. He's old, okay? Not as old as me, not as old as Blair.
Nowhere near as old as me.
And you know you're old when we're talking about readers. You know, Nate's got the glasses now. In the morning, you turn on the TV in the 6 o'clock hour, he's got the glasses on sitting over here.
Down on his nose.
Well, it was funny. A few weeks ago, he was in his office squinting at something. And I said, have you ever put readers on? And he goes, no. And I gave them to him, and he goes,
revelation.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they are little magnifying glasses.
Well, it's
right?
hard, though, because when he's calling a soccer game, you can't really look and, you know, your chart
right.
and that. So he's getting some special prescription glasses. But I was like, dude, this is life changing. When you're older, you need a little help sometime.
I have my problem is I need glasses for the distance, and now I'm to the point where I can't see really close up. So I need to get the progressive whatever. The
right, yeah. Something like that. Or
I
you
take
just
my
make
glasses
the text
off
on
to,
your phone.
I take my
know,
glasses off to
72.
Read the computer screen, but I can't see up really close. I got to pull it back.
You need longer arms. Hold the phone.
Well, I'm the caricature. I'm the guy at the restaurant in the evening.
With the light on?
Yep. For the phone light. Yep, that's me. Why
it's
is
all
this
fine.
Print so small?
Why is
it so
do
dark
this?
In
Why
here?
Is this a red menu with black lettering on it? Shouldn't this be 24-point type?
We're
on a
Mexican
bright
plate.
White sheet of paper.
Yeah, it's Mexican. Shouldn't
the Mexican
it be
restaurant has all the stuff. It's always got some decoration crap on the side. You can't read it.
Exactly.
Now that you know, like everywhere we went in Colorado had the QR reader stuff for menus. So then you could just zoom
yeah,
on your phone.
Yeah, that's
zoom
true.
It up. A big bright phone.
Or you do what I do is you look online before you go.
I know what I'm going to order. Oh, boy. This is bad news.
It's
Don't
sad.
Shake your head at us, Jed. It's coming for you, buddy.
No, it's not.
Yes,
I have
it
a
is.
Brother-in-law who's an eye doctor who will fix me up with good vision, and I'm not going to order my meals, figure out what I'm eating before I go. That's what my dad did.
Great.
I'm not becoming my dad.
I had LASIK, you know, 15 years ago from Dr. Silverstein, and if you put the menu across the street over there on a billboard, I can read it.
Why don't you walk out of your room and try and read stuff then, you idiot?
But then, you know, right here, I can see most of the things around here. I can see most of the stuff, but, you know, a little help. What happens? Happy birthday to Chad Boger is the point, right? You're going to say happy birthday to the boss?
I already did. Okay. He was lovely and gave me a piece of delicious cookie cake. Chad, happy birthday again. You don't look a day over 22, because I think you are 22.
Not 22. You're getting close to the big one.
Yeah.
25?
Twice that, maybe? Twice that. What else you got going on this summer, Blair? It's kind of like that kind of downtime now. We just have that 1 week of OTAs left. And
it is. It is. One thing I've thought about that we'll maybe do when we get closer to Big 12 football media days, with the Oklahoma just won the Women's College World Series, and there's two Big 12 teams in the men, three SEC teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or at least three. But anyway, when the business year ends, which is always like June 30th, 25 years of the Big 12 will be in the books.
That's right, yeah.
25 years of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a, be a good time to kind of take a look.
A little retroactive look at
just,
it?
Yeah, just see, has it accomplished what it intended to accomplish? And I think for the most part it has, basically the financial salvation of schools that are not Texas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else needs it to be, you know, they need the conference to exist, right?
And, you know, the numbers that came out on revenues were not awful.
No.
They
were
okay.
A little bit less than last year, but a little bit less is a lot better than a lot less than last year because of COVID pandemic.
Now, that's what the conference gave to the schools. Now, what the schools' budgets are, that's a different thing.
Totally
entirely.
Different. Exactly. You know, schools lost football games, and mm-hmm. you lose a football game, it means losing millions of dollars.
And, you know, the schools who I think had it worse than that on that front are the ones that maybe had it better. Like, you know, the Big Ten passes out more money, but they didn't have a fan.
No,
at a game.
That's right.
Not 15,000, 17,000. They didn't have anybody. And the Pac-12, same way. And they don't pass out the money. I think that's a league. They've changed commissioners now.
That's right.
And it's going to be a little bit different for them. But I think it looks like most of these places, I think a lot of the athletic departments were a little proactive, started giving pay cuts to high employees.
Yeah, that's right.
Did those things.
Texas wiped out about 30 employees there, 35 or something. I feel bad for the non-division ones, the D2s, mm-hmm. D3s, the people that rely on football home games really for a lot of their income that don't have TV money.
These FCS teams were trying to play this spring, and some
yep.
of them got pandemicked out.
Yep, exactly.
Hopefully we're through that.
Hopefully
and moving forward, onward and upward with all of those things. Blair Kirkhoff, thanks for your time today. Enjoy. You want another cookie or a popsicle on your way out?
To take one on the way out, yeah.
Sour Very Bomb nice. Pops from Sour Jed.
Those are sour.
Very sour.
Delicious.
Tasty.
Delicious, delicious stuff. That's Blair Kirkhoff from The Star. You can read him online at kansascity.com. Pick up the paper and do that. We'll talk some baseball next hour with Jeff Passan from ESPN.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, how many Tennessee Volunteers have the Chiefs drafted in the first round? Brought to you by Good Sense.